Well, Merry Christmas again. You know, in case you came in later and I didn't get to say it to you before. You know, there are a lot of things that make Christmas a wonderful celebration. What are some of the things you like best? Yell them out. Yes, yeah. I expected a kid to say that, Carrie, not you. Presents! Lisa, you better got him something good, because apparently that's what he's waiting for. Candy, yeah, food, family, lots of stuff, right? Lots of things about Christmas that we absolutely love that make it a wonderful celebration. But one of those is this, and it's probably one maybe we don't think of quite in this way, but we get to think about and celebrate at Christmas birth. I mean, how many of you love babies being born? How many of you love babies, you know? Probably not the moms giving birth to babies at the time, but yeah, all the rest of us, you love babies, you know? I mean, every time Deb and I mean, when we were pregnant with one of our kids, we were pregnant. That's obviously... As I watched Debbie be pregnant with our kids, we were excited. Probably not as excited as my mom, but we were... incredibly excited about the fact that we were going to have a child. What an amazing gift we were going to have. And I'm sure you know, right? Anytime someone comes up to you and says, guess what? We're having a baby. What do? Do you smile? You smile, right? I mean, or you get excited. It's kind of something you get a little celebratory about. And it's kind of neat when someone comes up to you and maybe introduces their newborn baby to you for the first time. It's an amazing, epic moment, those gifts. Well, at Christmas, are we not celebrating a birth? We are. That is the reason that we are here. The birth of Jesus Christ. His name, it says in Scripture, is Emmanuel. You all know what that means? God with us. Yeah. God with us. The eternal God entered into history. The Creator God came into His own creation. God who made you. God who made me. Who made man. Came into this earth as a baby. That is amazing. An absolutely startling event. And ultimately, every year, we celebrate this amazing birth of Jesus, the most important person who has ever walked the face of this planet. I mean, our entire calendar system is based on this guy, yes? Right? A.D., Anno Domini, Year of Our Lord, B.C., before Christ. I mean... history is actually split based on when Jesus Christ was born. And so we send out Christmas cards that depict Jesus Christ in a manger. We sing songs, as you've just been doing, about Him coming into the world. That's why we're here tonight, to remember the birth of Jesus. Now, I know many of you are Christians. You are believers in Jesus Christ, and you believe. You believe that Jesus grew up. He didn't just stay in a manger like on the cards, right? He grew up and He lived without sin and He died on the cross for your sin. And He rose from the dead for your salvation and He ascended into heaven and He is alive and He is well today. Now, some of you, perhaps you don't believe that. Or at least you question that. Or perhaps you're in the process of coming to believe that. So here is the question that I want to answer this evening in this real brief sermon. Just consider that my Christmas gift to you, okay? You get one short sermon a year tonight, okay? But here it is. We're gonna answer this question. Why was Jesus born? Why was Jesus born? I mean, at Christmas, that's what we celebrate. But the question is, why? Why was Jesus born? I'm not going to make you wait for an answer, okay? Jesus was born so that we could be born again. Pure and simple. Jesus was born so that we could be born again. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If not, that little book that you all got when you came in, that's got that verse in there too. You're more than welcome to look at it there. But for those of you who may not be familiar with the ministry of Jesus, as he ministered on this earth, he had followers, he had disciples that went everywhere he went. They're basically students who learned from him. And one of them was a guy by the name of Peter, who ended up actually kind of being the leader of the disciples. And so at the point that Peter writes what we're about to read here, Jesus has already died. He's already risen. He's already ascended to heaven. And this man, Peter, I guess you could kind of say, is kind of the leader at this point of Christianity, of early Christianity. And I want you to notice how Peter begins writing his letter. Would you read that for me, with me? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there for a minute. Now, if you read the Bible at all, or if you grew up in church, then you probably think, well, I've heard words like that a million times. Right? Those are pretty Christian-y sounding words, right? Pretty religious sounding stuff you see in the Bible a lot. But guys, don't miss this. There is a reason why Peter wrote these words. There was not some template that they all just said, well, here's how you begin a book of the Bible, you know, and then that's what they put. There's a reason behind it. What Peter is doing here, he begins by essentially saying, hey guys, I am really, really excited about something here. I want to share something amazing with you. Something that you should be getting really excited about. You see, guys, the whole concept of blessed be, right, in that verse, is basically a way of rejoicing. It's a way of celebrating. It's the kind of emotional response we have when that young couple comes up to us and says, guess what? We just got engaged. Right? What do? You smile. You kind of are excited for them. Or a married couple comes up and says, we're pregnant. We're having a baby. That's kind of what the sort of emotion that Peter's getting across here. It's rejoicing. It's celebrating. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy. So as Peter begins sharing this exciting news, guys, he begins by pointing out the love of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God, the affection of God, what we could call the father heart of God. I mean, he just told us that God is the Father, right? He is God the Father. And Peter now is going to point out to us this great mercy, which is the Father's heart toward you. You specifically. God's heart towards you is one of mercy. Now, perhaps some of you, when you start thinking about dads, about maybe you didn't have a great father. Maybe you didn't have a father growing up. Or maybe the one that you had was not a good father. Maybe when you did something wrong, you lived in terror of that man. You had no clue. What's he going to do? Right? Is he going to help? Is he going to hurt? Is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad? And you kind of live in fear. Well, Peter here is excited about the fact that God is a Father whose heart is filled with what? With mercy. With mercy. Guys, God is a Father who loves His kids. That's why Peter's excited here. God's the kind of Father that, you know, in your time of need, you can turn to Him. You don't have to run from Him. You don't have to be afraid of Him. He's here to help you. He's not here to harm you. And what has He done for us, guys? What has that really kind, merciful Father who loves you and me, what has He done? What has He done for the family of God? Well, Peter says, doesn't he? According to His great mercy, has caused what? Us to be born again. Now, guys, why was Jesus born? Jesus was born so that we might be born again. But born again to what? Well, he finishes there by telling us, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, how many of you have heard the term born again before? Anybody? Yeah, everybody. You've probably heard it in positive terms. Maybe you've heard it in not so positive terms, you know, just depending on, you know, where you're coming from. But what does it mean to be born again? This born again that Peter is obviously so excited about. Well, if you've ever read the Gospel of John, John chapter 3 actually explains this for us. While Jesus was on this earth, he was out preaching and teaching. And as he was doing so, he ran into a guy by the name of Nicodemus. Maybe you've heard of Nicodemus before. Now, Nicodemus was a devoutly religious man. This is a guy who studied the Bible. This is a guy who went to synagogue. This was a guy who came from a believing family that raised him to also believe in those things of Scripture. And so he encounters Jesus Christ, and he has questions for him. Probably like you and I would. If we encountered Jesus Christ here on this, we'd have some questions, I'm sure. Well, he had some as well. And in the midst of that, Jesus says something to him. Something that really confuses Nicodemus. He looks right at Nicodemus, looks him right in the eye, and says, "Hey, Nick, you know what? You must be born again." Nicodemus just wanted to know, how can I be saved? And Jesus said, "You must be born again." Obviously, this confused Nicodemus. You can almost hear the wheels turning in his head as you read that third chapter of John. He's thinking, what in the world does that mean? See, you and I, we've all heard the term before. He'd never heard it. And so the wheels are turning. He's thinking, what is that? You know, he probably did a quick inventory. Okay, let's see. Yeah, it was born once. Pretty much obvious. I'm here. But what in the world does it mean to be born again? I mean, I'm sure my mom was real happy to have me the first time around. But I'm fairly certain she's not going to be real keen on me, you know, climbing back in there and doing it all over again. This is what's going through Nicodemus's mind. So he's confused about what Jesus means. Well, what Jesus is talking about is that, sure, we're all born physically. And we celebrate that, right? We celebrate our birthdays, you know? We celebrate the day of our birth. Now, show of hands, how many of you here tonight have been born physically? Some of you are not raising your hands. That's disconcerting. Marco, we're going to have to talk afterwards. But guys, in addition to being born physically, Jesus is saying you need to be born again spiritually. We need a second birth of our soul. The first birth is a birth of our body, right? The second birth is of our soul. And let me explain to you real quick why this is necessary. We are all born in sin. Now, I know sin is not a word that's too cool to talk about anymore. Sometimes even within the church, they don't want to talk about sin because, well, people don't stick around that long, I guess, sometimes when you talk about sin. But the reality is, it's actually incredibly helpful to believe that sin exists. Because it kind of helps explain why this world is the way that it is. I mean, how many of you think the world is just pure and perfect and wonderful and everything's fine? Yeah, well, okay. We all know Ivan doesn't. But no, just the news this week. Ample evidence that this world is messed up. The fact of the matter is, a lot of you're together as family for the holidays. We all know what sometimes happens when family gets together for the holidays, huh? It just always goes perfect and wonderful, and there's never an argument or an irritate. No. And why? Because of sin, guys. Our relationships with each other. So we're not just talking about the world here. Our relationships with one another aren't even what they should be. And the reason is because of sin. Something has gone wrong. And the Bible tells us what that is. It is sin. But what is that? What is sin? Well, the Bible says that God is holy, that God is good, that God is perfect. Sin is anything that is contrary to the will of God. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God, the ways of God. To make that as simple as possible, just think of it this way. Sin is whatever God is not. That's what sin is. Sin includes your thoughts, because God can read your thoughts. Sin includes our words. Sin includes our deeds. Sin includes our motives. Why we do and don't do the things we do and don't do. Sin includes you doing something bad, but sin also includes where you were supposed to do a good thing and you chose not to do it. All of that is what the Bible means by sin. And you and me, guys, we were sinners from our mother's womb, from birth. There's a guy named David in Scripture. He writes a good portion of the book of Psalms that probably a lot of you are familiar with. In Psalm 51, he says that we are sinners from our mother's womb. Every one of us, with one exception in the human race. Anyone want to take a stab at who that one exception is? It's Jesus Christ. You see, that's why Jesus had no earthly... He had an earthly mother, but he had no earthly father. He did not inherit that sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve, like all of the rest of us have. They were created by God. He loved them, right? He gave them everything good, provided a perfect environment for them. And what did they choose? They chose to sin against him. And as a result, we inherit a sin nature, a proclivity towards sin from the time of our birth. And that leads to a life of sin. It leads to separation from God, the consequences of which is death. So, barring God's intervention in your life, we are born physically, we live sinfully, and we die eternally. But you notice that what we just read was something Peter was excited about. See, everything I just said, and I can tell by the looks on your faces, everything I just said is kind of depressing. Right? You either completely don't believe it at all, or you're being reminded again of how dark and horrible it is. But it's all kind of depressing. But Peter is excited with what we've been reading here. He's excited because God, in His mercy, because He loves us so much, He chose to do something to save us from that position we are in, from that terrible fate. His Father heart of mercy causes us to be born again, causes us to have new birth, a spiritual birth. That's why Peter says there, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, God's a Father, we're a sinner, and Jesus is a Savior. And what Peter is saying is this: salvation is the great gift of mercy, the means by which we are born again spiritually, and it is only accomplished through Jesus Christ. You see, guys, you could be physically alive and spiritually dead. You could be breathing, heart pumping, but not connected in relationship to the God of the Bible. But God has done something to take care of that. God has done something to take away that sin problem. And He does that through Jesus Christ. Now, you might be thinking, hey, dude, Christmas. You know? Well, come back to Christmas with me. To that story. Why was Jesus born? Well, His name indicates the reason He came. That name Jesus, you know what it literally means? He is our Savior. That's what His name means. And so Jesus is born, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. He does not have an earthly father, so He doesn't have that inherited sin nature that you and I have. He's not a biological descendant of Adam. And he's born in a manger in a town called Bethlehem. And that's why we celebrate at Christmas. That's why we get excited. I mean, I like presents as much as Carrie does. As much as we all do, you know? But there's something better and greater to be excited about at Christmas. And then Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with the favor of men and God, Luke tells us. And he lives a life without any sin. And he preaches and he teaches and he heals people. And he cares for the widows and he cares for the orphans. And he cares for the outcast and the marginalized and the needy, the people that nobody else cared about. And Jesus lives the most amazing, extraordinary life in the history of this world. That's why we still have our biggest holidays surrounding Him. Right? Christmas, His birth, Easter, His death, and His resurrection. Jesus lives without sin and He goes to the cross and He dies in our place for our sins. And then He rises to life 3 days later. Actually, on a Sunday. That's why most churches have service on a Sunday, because that was the day Jesus rose. Death is the consequences for sin. But because Jesus knew no sin, had no sin, death couldn't hold Him. And since He died for our sin and yours, His resurrection is your victory, your celebration, your party. Guys, that's what Peter's excited about here, you see. And here's my question to you on this Christmas Eve. Have you been born again? Obviously, we all raised our hands. We've all done it the first time. We've all been born physically. I'm asking, have you been born again? Well, maybe some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know if I have. Well, have you turned from sin and trusted in Jesus? See, what I don't want you to do is simply appreciate the life of Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you to experience the life of Jesus. I want you to have His life. Anybody can appreciate the life of Jesus. He was loving and gracious and merciful and kind and generous. He was nice to children and He was, you know, nice to women. And, you know, those in need, anybody can admire the life of Jesus. But only someone who's been born again can experience the life of Jesus. The resurrected life of Jesus coming into your life. That's what it means to be born again. It means to be born again in Jesus Christ, and that takes two things, guys. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance is where we see ourselves as sinners in need of a Savior. That's all that repentance means. Faith is where we trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save us from that sin. Again, back to Peter. Look what he says. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter is excited because Jesus was born so that we could be born again. Now, as we're all aware, obviously, the Christmas season is a season of gift giving. Right, Carrie? Yeah, it is. It's a season of gift exchanges and all those sorts of things. How many of you are planning on giving or exchanging gifts with friends or families, loved ones, either tonight or tomorrow morning? How many of you are planning on? Yeah, see, this is what we do at Christmas time. Well, did you know that Christianity, what I've been talking about here tonight, is all about a gift exchange? It's a gift exchange. Now, the gift exchange that Peter's talking about here is quite different from most of our gift exchanges. Because at Christmas, what do we hope? We hope that everyone loves their gifts, that everyone's excited about them, and that they need them, and they want them, and they're happy about them. They get something they always wanted, right? That's what we hope in the giving of gifts and also in the receiving of them. But guys, our gift exchange with Jesus Christ doesn't really kind of work out that same way. This Christmas, guys, I want you to exchange gifts with Jesus. I want you to. Here's what I want you to give Jesus for Christmas. Your sin. Your sin. Now, that is probably not what you were thinking you would give someone at Christmas time. Probably none of you have that on your Christmas list, I'm guessing, right? I want sin, and I want someone to sin against me. No, of course not. Obviously, we're not going to have those things on our list. Seems kind of like maybe Jesus is getting the short end of the stick on this gift exchange. But guys, remember who He is. He is God. He is the Son of God. He doesn't need anything. Okay? He doesn't need video games or a new Barbie or new clothes or anything else. Okay? He already has it all, rules over all, is sovereign over all. You know what Jesus wants from you this Christmas? He wants your sin. That's what He wants. That's why Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy." Peter's saying here, guys, this is unbelievable. Do you understand how amazing this is? In mercy, God wants your sin. Now, none of you would ask for that for Christmas. And yet, that's what God says. That's what Jesus put on His one and only Christmas list this year. Give me your sin. Give me your sin. But remember, guys, this is a gift exchange, right? And if you give Him your sin, He has a gift for you also. You get to open a big old present of born again. New life. He wants you to be a new person. With a new identity, living by a new power, with a new mind, in a new community of believers, with new desires. Guys, this is what Martin Luther called the great exchange. That's what Christianity is. Jesus invites you to give Him your sin. All of the junk that is doing nothing but destroying your life, which I'm sure if we were all willing to be open and honest, we would agree that that's what it does. He's asking that you give Him that, and He will give you eternal life. New life. Born again. The same new life that Jesus had as He rose from the dead. Guys, that is the greatest Christmas gift you can ever receive. I'm sure tomorrow or tonight you'll open some pretty cool stuff. None of it will even compare to this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in a stable, in a manger, so that you could be born again. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for this Christmas season. Thank You for the gift of Your Son. I thank You that You sent Your one and only Son to come into human history as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who has come to save us. Jesus, we celebrate Your birth tonight. We celebrate the fact also that You died and that You rose again that we might be born again. And for those of us here tonight who've been born again spiritually, Father, I thank You that this is such a great day for us because we get to celebrate. We get to be excited and enjoy You, Lord Jesus. And for those that are here, Lord God, who perhaps have never been part of this gift exchange we've been talking about, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that You would cause them through the Word of God to be born again. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.